The theme of this sermon is called Thy Faith Hath Made Thee Whole. It was almost 10 years ago that I was a youth leader in Rotterdam. And it was on a Saturday evening after the Sabbath that our youth group went for an outing, for a sport outing. And after the sport outing we went to a restaurant to have a drink and to eat something with each other. At a certain moment we hear a car jazzing through the street, making a lot of noise, and just when I look out of the window of the restaurant, I see the car slam into a tree. And I saw two people rolling out of the car, and they were drunk. And I, with a couple of other youth members, we ran to the car trying to help the people who were hurt. But instead that those people were happy to see us helping them, they were starting to curse us. Curse us because we are trying to help them. Why did they do that? Because their minds and their thoughts were clouded. Those men, they didn't see their predicament they were in. They rather would be in a burning car, or a car that could almost explode at any time, than having people help them for their situation. Instead of thankfulness, they are trying to curse the one who are trying to save them. And we all know that God wants us to be saved. God wants us to help us out of our predicament, and He wants to be with His people He created. That's why the Lord clearly states in Revelation 21, verse 3, the following. We know the text. And I heard a great voice of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and it will dwell with them. And they shall be with His people, and God Himself shall be with them, and be their God. God wants to be among His people. God wants to save us so that He can be with us. And God did His utmost. We all know that Jesus died on the cross to save us sinners. To save each and one of us. Why does people then refuse His saving grace? Why do people want to stay in their predicament of sin instead of taking hold of the claim, that promise, that saving grace that Jesus wants to bestow on each and one of us? Why do people want to stay in a burning car instead of being saved? We have to ask ourselves a number of questions. Do we trust God really enough that He can save us? We believe the scripture. We believe that every word that is inspired in the Word of God is good for our lives. That it can motivate us, purify us, and strengthen us. And we all believe in the sure word of prophecy. We know that what Jesus says is going to happen will happen as stated in the Word of God. And we know that everything that God has promised us, He will surely deliver. So why do people often doubt the Word of God? Why do people doesn't have a faith that made themselves whole? Well, we just heard the story about Jesus passing through Samaria in Luke 17. He was en route to Jerusalem, And he passed the country of Samaria. And there was a place that Israelites shunned. You don't go around with people in the country of Samaria. Just leave them at their place. But luckily, Christ come to us who are places where other people might leave us alone. Jesus, meet us at the place where we are. Where other people might leave us alone. Where other people said, well, I don't want to go to those places that are dangerous or scary. Jesus is coming to where we are. Where we are hurting, Jesus will be there. And when we are in a troublesome situation, Jesus is there. Just think about the economic crisis we in are right now. I don't know if you noticed the news the last couple of days, but a lot of people are in panic right now. And everybody is crying out, is there anybody who can save the euro, save the dollar, save the money we have in our pockets? Is there any government that can help us? Is there any bank that can help us? Is there anybody smart here around in this world who could help us in the predicament we are right now? Is there anybody who can save us and make at least our paycheck whole? And we all think that governments and banks and smart people and the rulers of the world have the solution for our problems. Because we think they are the best suited people who can help us. But sometimes, or most of the times, we have to come to admit that help comes from unexpected sources. Let's go to verse 12 of Luke 17. And when Jesus and the disciples entered a certain village, they met men who were lepers, and they stood afar off. You don't go around with people who had leprosy. A terrible disease. It's contagious. It's dangerous, and you don't go around with that kind of people. And then those lepers, they see a man they heard about, and his name is Jesus. Nobody could cure your disease, but you hear about a man who could cure you. You hear about somebody who can make the most terrible disease and could clear them. It is Jesus. It's the Rabbi Jesus. The man who could do incredible things. Being cured of a terrible disease. And there is it. Jesus Christ. If there is a terrible pandemic going on. If there is something that really is hurting the people of this day and age, then it's a terrible disease called sin. And we all know what the terrible disease could lead up to. The wages of sin is death. And in this world, everybody hates the effects of sin. Sin destroys families. Sin destroys communities. Sin destroys everything, and it leads up to that. So of course everybody wants to get rid of the effects of sin. So even non-Christians, even though they also commit sin, they also hate the effects of sin. They also want to be made whole. They hate the disastrous effects of lying. They all hate stealing. Just remember what we saw the last couple of days in London, in the riots in Great Britain. Everybody hates things being stolen from their houses, their shops. They hate that people just burn buildings and threaten people with their livelihood. Everybody hates the effects of sin. The big difference is between the believers in Christ and the believers, if you might say, of this world, is the belief in who can save them from the effects of sin and of sin themselves. Non-believers look to governments, wise people, for their solutions. We, and I hope so, we look to Christ. And throughout biblical history, we see that people who do not trust in God believe in men or in themselves for the solution of their predicament. Look at the people in the time of Noah, when Noah was asked by God to build the ark so that the men might be saved from the rain that will come from heaven high. And the people were saying to Noah, we don't need an ark. We don't need to go into that boat made from God by Noah to go into the ship. Rain, where is the rain? Or just look at the people from the who would have to build the Tower of Babylon. We can build a tower of ourselves. We can save ourselves from maybe coming water that the Lord may send again. We can build a tower and we can be as gods. We can save ourselves. Or just look at the people of the town of Jericho. We can build walls so thick that nobody can enter our city. We can save ourselves. We don't need God. Our faith in ourselves can make ourselves whole. In all those instances, men had plans to defend themselves from harm by themselves. But we as Christians, we believe that our victory comes by Christ and through Christ alone. It's when God weighs in that we have trusting faith that victory will come to Him. It is God who said to Noah, if you believe that the ark will save you, you will be saved if you enter in. God says, through faith, I will gather you and bring the nations together. Not by building a tower. God says, through faith, those towers of Jericho will become crashing down. It is faith that brings the victory. Just remember what the Apostle Paul written to the church in Hebrews. In Hebrews 11, verse 6. Just think about how Paul describes how sure victory will follow true believers in verse 6 of Hebrews 11. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that didn't ye seek him. Didn't ye seek Jesus, seek God? If we want to survive these troublesome times we are living in right now, and you have to admit there are really pretty interesting times we are entering right now, we must be sure that it's only through righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ alone that we are saved. There is no other way to survive the calamity of these days by trusting on your own wits or the wits of smart people or the ingenuity of governments, of rulers in high places. Back to Luke 17. Those lepers saw Jesus coming from afar. And they knew Jesus. They heard the story about Jesus. This man can make us whole. And they saw him. Looked at him. It was their only hope. In this day and age, people know about Jesus. Maybe they heard of him on TV. Maybe they received a tract. And they see as Jesus as a miracle worker who is one of the possible solutions to save them from their predicaments. But the people of this day and age, they don't only see Jesus, they also see like people who read horoscopes or read books like The Secret or go to truth tellers on TV where you call a number and then you can phone in and hear your future being told. People see Jesus fitting in that line of work, a kind of miracle worker, but they don't see Jesus as the Son of God. They see Jesus as a possible solution of their predicament. And if they don't see Jesus as a solution for their problems, they turn their backs towards Him. People see Jesus in this day and age as a guru, as a wise man, but not as the Son of God, as I just said. They don't see Jesus as the Lamb of God who was slain for our sins, who can redeem us. They only see Jesus as, oh, if I get maybe whole, then everything is around me and I can go back into my old life and my old way of doing things. But we see Jesus more than just a miracle worker, more than doing just a miracle in our lives. We see Jesus forgiving sin. We see Jesus as the only one who can make us whole. If we have problems in our lives and we don't see directly Jesus delivering the things that we want, do we turn our backs towards Jesus? Just remember what happened to the faith life of the Israelites who wonderfully escaped from Egypt under the leadership of Moses. Just notice what happened when Moses went up the Mount Sinai to get the commandments of God. He was there, and the Israelites didn't see Moses, and they said, "Where is Moses? We don't see him." You know what we're going to do? We're going to build a golden calf, a cow, and we're going to worship that. They don't see the miracle, and they turn their backs towards God. What do we expect from Jesus? What is our faith life? What do we expect or do when Jesus doesn't react on the way we expect him to do. At least those leopards that did one thing right, they went to Jesus. They lifted up their voices and they said to Jesus, Jesus, Master, Rabbi, have mercy upon us. See our predicament. See our problem we are having right now. We want to be made whole. See our sickness. Everybody is walking away from us, but we want to be whole. We want to have a saving faith. When we are in a difficult situation, whatever that difficult situation might be, in our family, in our schools, in our job, in a situation, in a society we are living in right now, we cry out to Jesus and we say, Master, Rabbi, help us. Why do we call up the name of Jesus? Because one thing we know for sure from Scripture, we know that Jesus can do miracles. Or do we call out the name of Jesus because we know that he can save us from the biggest problem there is, and that's the problem of sin? We know that Jesus can do more than restore our financial situation or our family problems. We know that Jesus restores the soul. What kind of faith life do we have? Do we have the saving faith like those three Hebrew boys? Do we have faith that we can trust Jesus even though the situation doesn't work out the way we have think or imagine? Let's go to Daniel 3, verse 16. We know the story of those three Hebrew boys, the big statue that Nebuchadnezzar built up, raised up. And then when the sound of the flute and the trumpet, that everybody should kneel down and worship the statue, and those three Hebrew boys, they didn't bow down. And then they said something interesting to Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Verse 17. If it be so, our God, who we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Even though, if God will not deliver them, they wouldn't bow down. They didn't know the sure outcome. Maybe it would be that they would be burned in that fire. And still they would not give up their faith and their trust and their reliance upon the word of God. Do we follow God because we know that his word eventually would work out? Or are we only there for, well, it is profitable if I follow God right now, for this moment, and the next, maybe then, I will turn my back upon him. Do we believe even though we don't know the outcome on that particular moment in time? It was the faith life of the three Hebrew boys that made them whole. They still believe, even though they knew the outcome wouldn't be or couldn't be pleasurable to them at that moment. Those ten leopards in Luke 17, they took their chance and they went to Jesus. Lord, show mercy upon us. Sometimes when we pray for loved ones who are very sick and could even die from their diseases, when doctors have given up on them rightfully, we do as friends and family in the church community, we will pray for those members. We pray and we say to the Lord, Lord, show mercy upon those who are sick. And we hope on a favorable outcome on our request towards God. But do we give up on God if God doesn't answer the prayer as we expected God to answer the prayer? We ask God for mercy, we ask God for healing, but it is up to the will of God if he will do what he sees right in that moment in time. Just look at the life of Jesus himself. Just look at the faith life that Jesus had in God his Father. Just remember in the Garden of Gethsemane. We all know that heartfelt prayer that Jesus offered to God the Father about the task that Jesus had to do. We all know that Jesus had to die on the cross for the sins of humanity, past and future. We know that Jesus had to die so that we might live. We know, Lord, how much Jesus had to play and had to offer so that we might live. And that the terrible burden was placed upon it for the task that he had to do. Jesus also prayed. But did he waver of his goal to die for his sins, for the whole humanity on the cross? Let's go to Matthew 26, verse 39. Jesus was in the garden and he was praying. Verse 39 of Matthew 26. And he, Jesus, went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh my Father, if it was possible, let this cup pass me from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Do we have the faith life that can say, Thou will may be done? Modern day culture says, let my will be done as a human being. Modern concepts like The Secret or like pop songs or in movies, if you look at the movies or TV series, you notice one general theme, let my personal will be done. Instead of what we see as Christians, let God's will be done. A lot of people this day and age, even Christians, even pronounced Seventh-day Adventists, say we follow Christ as long as Christ follows the way of sinful men. But that isn't the way how God operates. God doesn't operate listening to the way of sinful men, but God's way is higher than the thoughts of men. We must remember that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. In his infinite wisdom, he allows or disallows things that a man might be saved from the ways of sin, which is the second death. God allowed his only Son to die for our sins, so that we might live. God understands, and Christ understands his mission. If God could save the world in any other way, then he would have done it. But remember, there is no remission of sin without blood, and it was an innocent lamb that was needed to save us. God didn't let the cup pass by Jesus. And Jesus prayed even a second time to God the Father in Matthew 26 verse 42. And again he went away, Jesus, again a second time, and he prayed saying, "Oh my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done." God didn't took the cup away from Jesus. If good would have done it, Satan, sin, and evil would prevail in this earth for all eternity, would only live to die on this earth. Thank God that God's will prevail each and every time. Jesus said to the lepers in Luke 17 to go to the priest to pronounce them cleansed, as the ceremonial law stated, and we can read that in Deuteronomy 13 and 14, where you can read that it is necessary for a leper, when he was cured, to pronounce the cure to go to the high priest and to do a whole ritual so that the person who was had leprosy could be entered back into the community. And the Bible clearly states that those 10 lepers walked to the priest were healed. The lepers heard the word of the Lord, they obeyed the word of the Lord, and they were healed. But only one person noticed that he was healed and walked back and glorified God with a loud voice. Who do we believe? When do we see that we are forgiven of our sins and shortcomings? When do we see that prophecy is fulfilled? When a learned person tells us that? When somebody else in our surroundings tells us that? When the government tells us that? Or do we believe on basis what the Lord has said to us? And do we ultimately give honor to Christ and Christ alone? A lot of people, or even in this day and age, when a miracle happened in their life, wait until other people acknowledge the miracle for them to be happy and say, "Hey, Christ is something in my life." Just think about the story of Caleb and Joshua when they saw the land of milk and honey, and they came back to the people of Israel to give a report of what they saw. And they saw that they could took and see, and we can enter that land, and we can enter that land, and we can possess that land that God has promised us. And then all those people are listening to the words of Caleb and Joshua, and then to the words of those 10 other spies, and well, you might have the faith in God, those people of Israel saying, Caleb and Joshua, but we with our own eyes, we see giants and we see problems and we see all kind of things. We don't believe the word you say, Caleb and Joshua. We don't believe that God can save us from the predicament. We believe in what we see. And we all know the consequences of what those Israels did is that of believing what the Lord can do, but more listening in what the people saw at that moment in time. They had to wander in the desert for quite a number of years. And how is it with us? What do we do if things happen in our life? If the Lord says that the righteous will inherit the earth, it is so. If the Lord says that you will receive a special blessing on the Sabbath, it is so. If the Lord says that anybody who calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved, it is so. The question for us is, in this moment in time, do we believe that if God says that it's going to happen, that it will happen, or are we looking, well, it says in the Bible, but do I wonder if God says that it really will come to pass? Do we have unwavering faith? Because if you have unwavering faith, then the joy that will happen when you accept and hold fast to unwavering faith will be gigantic, as it were. Just think about that leper that returned to Jesus, who realized that his miracle doesn't came from the moment that a priest would pronounce him whole. No, he realized that Jesus has made him whole, and he was glad. Read in verse 16 of Luke 17, when this leper came back to Jesus. And this man, he fell down on his face and on his feet, and he gave thanks to Jesus, and he was a Samaritan, somebody who you didn't even notice who would come back to Jesus, who Israel says, he's a strange person of strange background. It was this person who realized, it is the word of the Lord that made me whole, and I should give thanks to him. Do we wait until a church member, a family member says, well, you have entered heaven? No, it is Jesus who said to us, if you believe in me, then the way of eternity lies before you. Do we wait until people in our surroundings says, well, you're on the right track? Or do we trust the word of the Lord? I could remember on the Sabbath afternoon when I was young, and Sabbath afternoons, I put on my radio and I listened to sermons on Sabbath afternoon. And I never forget this sermon. It's almost 10 years ago that I listened to this sermon, and I never forget it. And this pastor was using in the sermon, and he was talking about how his colleague pastors was telling him not to preach about the end time. Those colleague pastors was telling him, you know, pastor, we should talk about fun and nice things, but you only are preaching about being ready for the second coming, and that we should watch the things we eat and watch the things we listen to on the radio and TV, and we should do more on Bible study, and your faith life is so difficult and so hard, you must be more easygoing. And this pastor was talking with his colleagues who were telling him this, and he said, listen, we should preach the right word. We should preach the uncompromising word of God. We should preach the Ten Commandments. And when I was listening to this sermon, he told the congregation this thing, and he was very animated. And he said to his congregation, well, those pastors were telling me this, but let me tell you one thing, he said to his congregation, I will not stop preaching the uncompromising word of God. I will not stop having an unwavering faith. He said, one day Jesus will come from the clouds down and listen. All those pastors who are telling me I shouldn't stop preaching the uncompromising word of the God. Listen, I will rise with my feet from the ground and go up with the saints to Jesus Christ, and I will look down and I will say to those pastors who were telling me, stop preaching the uncompromising word of God, I will look down and say to them, I told you so. Well, brothers and sisters, it is pretty serious, but I could understand why I was telling this. Because the only way to have be whole, the only way to enter eternity with Jesus Christ and the saints is to have uncompromising, steadfasting faith in Christ and Christ alone. It is clear, the only thing that saves you is unwavering and uncompromising faith. Who are you taking for the blessings that you receive in your life? Who do you thank when you are healed from sickness? The doctor or Jesus? Who do you thank when you receive a good grade for your diploma? The teacher or Jesus? Who do you thank when you come here on every Sabbath morning? The person who fills the gas tank in your car? The person who brings the tram right here to this church? Or Jesus? Do we have the uncompromising faith that is stated in Hebrews 11? Do we trust the word of the Lord more than the traditions of men? Do we trust Jesus more than... Do we trust Jesus as a miracle worker alone? Or do we trust Jesus as the Son of God? Do we have the faith that makes us whole? Paul wished that he would be whole when Jesus returns. Let's go to the book of the 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 23. Stated as following, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray the God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blamelessly unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you. Who calls us? Who called you when you were sick? Who called you when you had problems in your marriage or in your relationship? Who called you when you had a difficult time on your job? Who called you when you were sinking down deep in sin? Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. So brothers and sisters, who do we get an uncompromising saving faith? Let's turn to Revelation 14, verse 12. And we all know that verse, but I just want to bring back Revelation 14, verse 12, the latter part of the three angels' message. And sometimes it's good to not only to read it from the screen, but also to search up in your own Bibles if you have it with you. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. Do we have the saving faith of Jesus? That is our criteria how to have unwavering, steadfasting, to every problem standing faith. Are we able to stand like Jesus, love like Jesus, pray like Jesus, walk like Jesus, teach like Jesus, be like Jesus? Do we have uncompromising faith? There is no other way to survive the calamities of this world than to follow Jesus. If you look at the problems we just see a couple of weeks ago in Norway, there are people crying of the terrible situation we saw all those youngsters die in on an island, Utøya. How are we able to stand in that situation and say, Lord, it is terrible what happened, but I won't lose my unwavering faith on you. I will remain steadfast. Maybe you have stocks on the stock exchange. Maybe you have a lot of money invested in your pension fund, and whoever knows if we have even have a pension in the end. I will trust Jesus more than what the bank says, because Jesus said, I will never leave my children alone. If I will care for the sparrow, I will also care for you. If you trust those words from Scripture, you have unwavering faith. Maybe you see all those things on TV of those riots in London, and you might think, does it ever will go well with the human society? Should I ever trust in what this society can bring? Or do you trust the words of Scripture? There is no other way to survive what the devil and his falling angels are throwing on us each and every day than to have unwavering faith like Jesus. Because that is the patience of the saints. That is the faith that makes you whole. Jesus wants to do more than to perform just a miracle in your life, to help you from your ailing disease, to just help you from a problem that you might have in your relationship or on your job. Jesus wants to save us from the biggest problem that we have on this face of this planet, and that is the sin problem. We need to be saved from sin and shame. Jesus, everything he promises, he will make it come to pass. He wants you and me to be whole. He wants to say to you and to me, thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen. Amen.